Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm just going to read one verse of Scripture this morning. We're going to look at verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Let's go again to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. We're thankful, Lord, to be among our brothers and sisters, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that that's what we have done so far. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that have been sung. Lord, we do love the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we love what He has done for us. And we just praise His name. And Father, as we've worshiped in song, and as we've lifted up praises to you, and as we've prayed to you, Father, and spoke to you, we now ask that you would speak to us this morning. And as your word goes forth, we pray, Father, that you would help us to draw close unto you, that you would just give us understanding of what your word teaches us, and that we would be ever mindful of who we were and what you have done for us, Father. We pray, Lord, that we would have no distractions in our service this morning, but that our hearts and minds would be in tune with you and your word. We pray, Lord, that you would allow us to not think about what we've done or what we may do after this or what we may be doing this weekend, Father, but that we would strictly think about you. Father, we thank you for our country that we live in. Amen. We know, Father, that there are many things that we can be critical of and many things we pray to you to change in our country. Yes. And that we would pray that we would turn and look back to you. But we are also, Lord, still thankful that we have the freedoms that we have. And we're thankful for the men and the women who sacrificed their lives for these freedoms. We pray, Father, that you would bless our service and bless our church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. As you know, and as it's been mentioned quite a few times, tomorrow is Memorial Day. We have the greatest event in Ohio take place tomorrow morning here in Ironton, the Ironton Memorial Day Parade. So I would like to give personal thanks and just be thankful and thank those that laid down their life for the country that we have. We can find a lot of things wrong with our country, can't we? But it's still, God has blessed this country to be what I believe the greatest place a person can live in this world. And we need to be thankful for that. It's a day that's set aside. Tomorrow is a day that our country sets aside to remember this and to remember what our troops have done. And I think it's a good idea, don't you? It's a good idea for many reasons. Why is it a good idea? Number one, they deserve it, don't they? Don't they deserve us to remember and honor them for what they've done? It's also a good idea because it's easy to forget. Say, we would never forget. Well, when we get busy in our day-to-day lives and we get to doing things, it's easy to just forget of all the sacrifices that have been made to allow us to appreciate the things that we have. And that's another reason. It helps us to appreciate the freedoms that we have. And then last, I think it's a good idea because it keeps us from making some of the same mistakes we've made in the past. The lives that were laid down are an indication and a reminder to us not to make the same mistakes that would cause someone else to have to lay down their life again. Do you agree? Such as slavery, such as any kind of reasonings that we've went to war in the past for our freedoms. it helps us remind us not to follow down those same areas. So I think Memorial Day is a great idea, and I'm thankful for it, and it's also a good day to have off for work, isn't it? But the same reasons I give you that it is a good idea that we have Memorial Day for our country is the same that applies exactly to this text of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. In fact, that's actually going to be our outline for this morning. And it says in our text, "Remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God had brought you out from here through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God command you to keep the Sabbath." Folks, we need to remember who we were and what God has done for us. Why? First of all, and our first point, is because He deserves it. God deserves us to call to our remembrance who we were, who He is, and what He has done for us. Does He not deserve that? Every day we need to remember Him and what He has done for us. Not just Christmas. Boy, our church is packed on Christmas, isn't it? Most churches are packed on Christmas. Not just Christmas. Not just Easter. When I was at Elizabeth, it was a joke because it was a common joke a lot of times because we had, and we have similar guidelines here at this church, that as far as church discipline on memberships, as far as attending, as long as you attended once every 6 months, you could still be an active member. Well, if you came at Christmas and at Easter time, you were an active member the entire year. And that was the common joke. But we're not called to just remember on these events, are we? Or these man-made holidays, are we? We're not called just to remember at the Lord's Supper. Why do we have the Lord's Supper? To remember Him, right? It's a memorial service for the Lord. But folks, we're not called. We're called to remember there, and that helps us to remember, but that's not the only time we're supposed to remember. Sundays and Wednesdays are not the only time we're called to remember. Every day, we need to wake up and remember who we once were and remember who God is and what He has done for us. Every day. Why? Because He's worthy of us to remember that. And He deserves it. Notice verse 24 in this chapter. In verse 24, it says, "And you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us His glory and His greatness. And we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire, and we have seen this day that God does talk with man." And He what? He lives. The mere fact that God communicates with man, that He lives and communicates with sinful man in His glory, in His honor, in His greatness, He deserves us to hold that in our memory. And remember Him. Remember, He deserves it. Secondly, remember, because it's easy to forget. We need to constantly remember who we were. You know, a lot of people don't teach that. In fact, a lot of churches and a lot of especially big churches, they don't want to teach to remember who you were. You know what they say? That's a waste of time. You need to look forward and not dwell on anything in the past. And to an extent, I realize that we don't want to live in our past. Okay? But that doesn't mean we don't want to forget who we were. The Bible teaches us not to forget. If God didn't want people to remember who they once were, why would He keep throwing this up in the face of the children of Israel then? Do you notice He does that a lot? What's he say here in our text? Remember, thou was a what? Servant in Egypt. Well, thanks a lot, Lord. Here I am trying to just do my best to go on with the future and to forget about what I was in the past and just be the best person I can be now in this life. And God says, no. You remember who you used to be also. Why? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget who we used to be. We were servants, folks. We were servants. Now, listen, we were not servants in the land of Egypt like the children of Israel were. But we were servants in bondage of sin. Much worse. And God tells us to remember that. In fact, He calls to our remembrance. You don't have to turn there because many of you probably know this passage very well. But in the book of Ephesians, He calls us to remember who we were. He says, "And you He hath quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversations in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You think God wants us to forget that? Absolutely not. And He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." It's easy after you've been a Christian for a while, after you've trusted the Lord and you know that your sins have been removed and you know that you have a right relationship with God and you know that when you depart from this world, you go to be with Him, it's easy to forget who we once were. And it's easy to get content with our position in Christ. But God calls us to remember because it's easy to forget. In our text, if you're still in Deuteronomy 5, I want you to keep your place there, but turn over just a couple chapters to chapter 8. Notice verse 10 of chapter 8. Now here, the children of Israel, let me give you a little bit of background before we look at this. This is the book of Deuteronomy. You know what that means? When Larry and Darwin get up here and sing sometimes, they sing a what? A duet. You know what duet means? Two. And Deuteronomy, I don't know. It's talking about the law, okay? This is the second giving of the law. And what you have here is the law was given, and you can read the law given in the book of Exodus, don't you? Well, after that, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and that generation died out. You remember that? Now they're getting ready to go into the promised land, which God has promised and given them. And they're getting ready to walk out into the promised land, but before they do, they say, hey, they need the law again. This generation needs to hear the law again. It's the second giving of the law. And as they're getting ready, this is the context, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. God has some words of wisdom for them here. Notice what He says in verse 10. "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the land which He has given you. But beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments, His statutes, which I command you. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when your herds of flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, notice verse 14, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You think that was good advice? Hey, you're about to go into the promised land and it's greater than anything. The descriptions that you have told one another, I have provided even greater than that. And you're about to go in and dwell in this land. But when you get there, you're going to find a dwelling place. You're going to build good houses. You're going to have livestock that's going to multiply. And you're going to have silver and gold that's going to multiply. But don't forget me! Because you'll get content. And you'll get satisfied. And you'll forget that it was me who put you in this place. How easy it is for us to forget. Folks, we were in the bondage and the slave house of sin. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were children of wrath and disobedience. And God took us, made us alive who were dead, called us who were unlovable into His very presence of grace, and removed our sin and saved us and set us free. Don't get content and complacent and forget who made you who you are today. John Newton, famous man who's known mostly for hymn writing and especially for the most famous hymn that's probably ever been penned, Amazing Grace. He didn't want to forget who he was. Do you know who he was? He was a slave trader. He was a very sinful man. He sold people like it was possessions. And he felt no remorse of it till the Lord saved him. I want to read a couple quotes here. It says, poor John Newton. If I can get this to come up. Poor John Newton nearly lost his soul on the forgetful green. His autobiography is filled with the sad, sad story of his forgettings. I forgot, he said, again and again. I forgot, I soon forgot. This too, I totally forgot. The words occur repeatedly so that it came to pass when he, it says it came to pass when after many wild and deluded years, he left the sea and entered into the Christian ministry. He printed a certain text in bold letters and fastened it right across the wall over his study. And it said, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. This man who penned this great song, Amazing Grace, when he entered into the ministry, he put the text that we're looking at up above his mantle. So that every time he prepared a message, every time he studied, every time that he was about to go into the service of the Lord, it would be a constant reminder of who he was and what God has done for him. We need the same thing, folks. Thomas Goodwin, a Puritan preacher, wrote a letter to his son. And this is what he says in it, very similar to John Newton. He says, when I was threatening to become cold in my ministry, and when I felt the Sabbath morning coming and my heart was not filled with the amazement at the grace of God, or when I was making ready to dispense the Lord's Supper, do you know what I used to do? I used to take a turn up and down among the sins of my past life. And I always came down again with a broken and contrite heart ready to preach, as if I preached the beginning, the forgiveness of sins. I do not think, he says, that I ever went into the pulpit, that I did not stop for a moment at the front to take a turn up and down among the sins of my past years. I do not think that I ever planned a sermon that I did not think of the sins of my youth and all of my life to the present, and the many Sabbath mornings when my soul had been cold and dry for the lack of prayer during the week, I turned up and down my past life in my heart, and it made me close with the gospel for my own soul. I began to preach. Like the great predecessor of his, John Newton felt. I just lost my place here. John Newton felt that. In his pulpit preparation, he kept his black past ever vividly before his eyes. Don't forget who we were, folks. It's easy to. Remember, because it's easy to forget. Third, remember, because it helps us appreciate the freedom that we do have. Notice our text in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember that thou were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there through a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. You know who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? God did. And as I said before, we were never in Egypt, but we were in far worse bondage, the bondage of sin. And you know who brought us out of that? God did. It was God that brought us out of this bondage through a mighty hand. Keep your place here at our text, and I'll ask you to turn to Galatians chapter 4. God has brought us out, and we are now free. Galatians 3 talks about this, but I wanted to look at Galatians 4. Notice what it says here in verse 3. Even so, we, when we were the children in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent you forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore we are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heirs of God through Christ. We're children of God. We were in bondage, but not only did He redeem us out of that bondage, not only were we servants, but He calls us to cease from being servants and redeemed us out of this being a servant, but we are now what? His children. When you remember what God has done, it helps you appreciate the freedom that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God brought out the children of Israel through a mighty hand. That's what it says, doesn't it? Well, He used a mighty hand to bring us out of redemption, or out of bondage too, into redemption. the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, laid down His life on the cross and redeemed His people from their sin. We've been set free. We have freedom in Christ. Folks, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him, you've never truly put your whole faith and confidence in Jesus, you need to realize this. You're in bondage to your sin. You're a slave and a servant to your sin. And more than anything, you need freedom. You need to be redeemed or set free from your sin. And the only way that's possible, the only means of freedom, is through the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. If you're saved here this morning, remember what He's done for you. It helps you to appreciate your freedom and where you're at right now. And if you're unsaved, you can't appreciate this freedom because you don't have it. You need to repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He can set you free from your sin. We were redeemed through a mighty hand, through His Son. We've been redeemed. And it helps us to appreciate what He's done. We were in bondage, but now we're redeemed. Praise God and appreciate your freedom. We were dead, but we were alive. Praise God and appreciate your freedom. We were blind, but now we see. We were lost, but now we're found. Praise God and appreciate your freedom. Remember, because it helps us to appreciate our freedoms. And then last, remember, because it keeps us from making the same mistakes. You know, in our text, and I hope you're still there, Deuteronomy chapter 5, our text is I didn't mention the context of our text. Do you know what this is? This is actually the Ten Commandments. You can read the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, but this, in Deuteronomy, remember, it's the second giving of the law. And He gives the Ten Commandments again. So, He's going down through here, and notice verse 7, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 8, you shall not have a graven image. Notice verse 11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Verse 12, keep the Sabbath. Now, after verse 12, He goes into this long discourse, and you come to our text. And He says, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God command you to keep the Sabbath. Now, I'm not preaching a message on the Sabbath one way or another, okay? There's a lot of debate and a lot of disagreement in regards to the Sabbath day. Whether it exists or not today, and whether it was abolished with the New Testament. We're not talking about that. The overall idea here is gathered with this, though, isn't it? What He's saying is, these are my commandments. Keep them. And if you remember who ye were, who I am, and what I've done for you, you'll keep my commandments. That's what He's getting at here. Specifically the Sabbath, He's saying, hey, remember who you were, who I am, and what I've done for you. Now keep the Sabbath. Therefore, keep the Sabbath. But it applies to the whole Ten Commandments here, because I want you to notice verse 6. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then after that, he begins to go through the Ten Commandments. What is he saying here? He's saying, remember who you were, who I am, and what I've done for you. Because if you do that, you'll be much more likely to keep my commandments and continue in my name. Wasn't it Jesus that says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? And here's what we're getting at. If you remember what God has done for you, it'll help you and it'll keep you from making the same mistakes or committing the same sins that you used to. There's something wrong with a person if they've claimed that they trusted Christ, if they've claimed that they were a sinner but God has saved them and set them free, yet they have no interest in keeping God's commandments. There's something wrong with that. You see, we need to remember what God has done for us because it keeps us from acting the way that we used to when we were who we were. I don't want anybody to raise their hand or speak out or say anything like that, but think about who you were for a moment before you were saved. Do you want to be that person again? Then you need to constantly remember who you were and what God has done for you. And it will help you to keep from sinning those same sins that you used to commit. In conclusion, Memorial Day for our country is a great idea. Our troops deserve that we remember them. It's easy to forget them. It helps us appreciate our freedom here in this country, and it keeps us from making the same mistakes and repeating history. But even more so than our country, we need to remember what God has done for us. And when we remember who we were and what God has done for us, we do this because God deserves it. Because it's easy for us to forget and be satisfied and become complacent. Because it helps us to appreciate the things that God has done for us in setting us free and taking away our sin. And it keeps us from committing the same sins that we used to commit and keeps us to strive to be holy, for He is holy. Remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out from there through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, I'll ask for you and Sister Brenda if you would come forward. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never trusted the Lord. You've never put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then you can honestly say you do not have freedom. And more than anything, you need to be redeemed from your bondage. Maybe you're here this morning and you are saved. But folks, you forgot. It can happen. You can forget. You can forget all that God's done for you. You can pray this morning that God would forgive you of that and you repent of that and you can go on serving the Lord like you once did. Whatever your need is, take care of it this morning as we sing. In number 252.